dull some of the roaring in my mind. "I'm very tired," I said. "You offered me sanctuary here a day ago, Zebra. Can I accept that offer now, if only until daybreak?" She looked at me over the smoked rim of her glass. It was already daybreak, but she knew what I meant. "After all you've done, you think I'll keep an offer like that open?" "I'm an optimist," I said, with what I hoped was the appropriate tone of utter resignation. Then I took another sip of the wine and began to realize how exhausted I really was. Chapter 30. The expedition to the ghost ship almost never left the Santiago. Sky and his two associates, Norquinco and Gomez, had made it as far as the cargo bay when Constanza appeared out of the shadows. She looked much older now, Sky thought, prematurely aged compared to himself. It was hard to believe that the two of them had once been near equals, children exploring the same dark and labyrinthine wonderland. Now the shadows etched themselves unflatteringly into her face, emphasizing the wrinkles and folds of her habitual expression. "Do you mind if I ask where you're planning to go?" Constanza said, standing between them and the shuttle that they had gone to great trouble to make ready. "I'm not aware that anyone was supposed to be leaving the Santiago." "I'm afraid you weren't in the loop on this one," Sky said. "I'm still a member of security, you supercilious little worm. How does that put me outside the loop?" Sky glanced at the others, willing them to let him do the talking. "I'll be blunt, then. It's a matter that exceeds even the usual security channels. I can't be specific, but the nature of this mission is both delicate and diplomatic." "Then why isn't Ramirez with you?" "It's a high-risk mission. A possible trap. If I'm caught, Ramirez loses his second in command, but the routine functioning of the Santiago won't be greatly affected. And if it is a genuine attempt to improve relations, the other ship can't complain that we aren't sending a senior officer." "Captain Ramirez would still know about this, though." "I should imagine so. He authorized it." "We'll just check, then, shall we?" She elevated her cuff, ready to speak to the captain. Sky allowed himself an instant of indecision before acting, weighing the outcome of two equally hazardous strategies. Ramirez did genuinely think there was a diplomatic operation in progress. An excuse that would enable Sky to leave the Santiago for a couple of days without too many questions being asked. It had taken years to lay the groundwork for that deception, faking messages from the Palestine, doctoring the real messages as they came in. But Ramirez was a clever man, and his suspicions might be raised if Constanza started showing too much interest in the validity of the mission. So he rushed her, knocking her to the hard, polished floor of the bay. Her head whacked against the ground and she went deathly still. "Have you killed her?" Norquinco said. "I don't know," Sky said, kneeling down. Constanza was still alive. They dragged her unconscious body across the cargo bay and arranged it artfully next to a pile of smashed freight pallets. It looked as if she had been exploring the bay on her own, and had been knocked out when a tower of pallets had toppled over, catching her on the head. "She won't remember the encounter," Sky said, "and if she doesn't come round of her own accord before we're back, I'll find her myself." "She'll still have her suspicions," Gomez said. "That won't be a problem. I've set up evidence trails which'll make it look like Ramirez and Constanza were complicit in ordering this expedition." He looked at Norquinco, who had actually done much of the work of which he spoke, but the other man's expression was impassive. They left before there was any chance of Constanza coming round. Normally Sky would have fired up the shuttle's engines as soon as he was free of the docking bay, but that would have made their leaving all the more obvious.